So I'm Karen Partington, Chief Exec of Lancs Teaching Hospitals, and I'm also the co-chair of our local workforce action board for Lancashire and South Cumbria. I was going to talk to you for a few minutes about that subject there. So I just wanted to start off by saying that, you know, we face a world at the moment of around about 18 million healthcare workers lower than we need. So there's a huge gap nationally. Healthcare is one of the largest sectors requiring employees in the world. I think it's about $9 trillion US and about 10% of a country's GDP. So, you know, it is big business. Today, our workforce crisis is a wicked problem. And we've just got to look beyond the obvious increase of headcount and focus on a range of different things. Patient empowerment, entrepreneurial government, digital, improved productivity, to overcome the problems that the countries and the health systems will face. Staff shortages are felt everywhere, but they're not spread evenly across our health and social care systems. If you just take the Northwest, for example, we know that in two parts of our system in the Northwest, there are sufficient doctors in parts of the country. For us, we know that we have got 10% fewer doctors through a deanery process, and that can't be right. So we know that we experience these things differently. So we've got to have a fundamental reset of our focus on our workforce. I've just got some figures here that just demonstrate the pressures and the issues not faced just by us, but faced by everybody. The BMJ reports China is short of 200,000 paediatricians, 161,000 GPs and 40,000 psychiatrists. Germany is going to have 300,000 nurses short in the next 10 years. In the USA, there are 1.2 million vacancies that will arise over the next few years for registered nurses, up to 2022. Driven by the baby boomer generation, with a percentage of people over 65 forecast to rise by 75% to 69 million. Now, those are mind-boggling numbers, aren't they? In the UK, while the number of NHS clinicians has actually risen by 26,000 since 2012, it's been outstripped by the requirement for 62,000 new posts that have been established in the wake of the mid-staffs scandal a few years ago, where insufficient nursing staff were associated with a higher number than average of patients' deaths. So, put simply, we are in a world where there is too much work and too few workers. So, what do we know about our employment offer? Well, clinical hierarchy of doctors, nurses, AHPs and care assistants has remained largely unchanged for over a century. And most of our spending on education, training and development of healthcare workers is focused right at the top of that pyramid. And it fails to reflect the rapid rise of chronic conditions that lower skilled workers using devices and technologies can support. My boys are both university educated. Both of them at Liverpool University, both did geology. Second one's in his last year doing his exams. Neither of my boys can imagine working in one organisation, in one job for the rest of their lives. I've worked in the NHS for 39 years. My kids look at me in horror. They actually really enjoy the rewards and benefits of my role. Thanks very much. You've funded us through university. That's great. But they also think I'm nuts. Because they look at the work that I do and they think our technology is outdated and our processes are antiquated. They think we run the NHS for the benefit of highly paid clinicians and managers and not for the benefit of the patients. My kids are fast adopters, as you know, young people in this room are, and our own kids are feeling it are exactly the same way. And they drop technology as soon as it stops working for them. My kids are on Facebook, it does nothing for them anymore, so they've dropped that, they're on a variety of other things. They use technology in their lives every day. They want flexible jobs that fit into their lives, not the other way around anymore. I think they're very lucky. I wish I'd been born a Generation Zer, but I'm not, I was a baby boomer. And it's a problem because we think in very different ways. So, what have we got to do with our workforce? Because what we're doing is we're squeezing them into our world and trying to make them to conform, and we're making it really tough to cross systems. We stifle change in the NHS, so we use technologies to automate our inefficiencies rather than really think about how do we use technology to think really differently and design better ways of working. Oops. So what do we know about our existing health and care workers? Well, global healthcare workforce is predominantly women. And yet, despite that huge representation, there are wide inequalities between men and women. Women are more likely to experience discrimination, lower ambition, they cut their hours and they drop out of the labour market post-children. And in the face of acute workforce shortages, we've just got to do something to attract, engage and retain our female staff. We've got to remove we've got to focus on removing structural and cultural barriers, and it's crucial if we are enable women to take on better professional roles. But actually, we've also got to find a way of getting our men into the caring professions, because in many respects they're very much underrepresented in certain professions. Gender equality is a moral necessity. It's what younger generations need, want, and are absolutely going to demand, and rightly so. So the long-term plan seeks to address these issues and many other workforce challenges. They're calling for an increase in our workforce, in recruiting more doctors, nurses and midwives, AHP scientists and others. But actually, we can't deliver the plan while we have a gap of around about 100,000 in our current workforce. So we know we need more staff. We just don't need more of the same. We need people to work at the top of the game. And when I was preparing for this, I found some information I thought was quite astonishing. 70% of doctors and 80% of nurses reported being overskilled in the roles that they do. But I think more fundamentally challenging is 50% of doctors and 40% of nurses reported being underskilled for their other tasks. And the result is frustration, stress, and burnout. Health Education England said the biggest cause of our NHS workforce crisis is our deterioration in staff retention. Isn't that crazy? We've got people working in our organisations, and yet our focus is on trying to recruit more instead of to retain the people that we've got and give them the tools and technologies to be able to do their jobs properly. So we've got to behave and think really differently, and that's the hard bit. So it's really easy to say these things, isn't it? You know, we need to do things differently. We need to embrace technology. We've got to find a better way of doing things. When actually, in the next 6 weeks, I've just had my PIR from CQC, so I'm expecting my inspection. So they'll be going on my wards and looking to see if I got the right numbers of staff. Actually, it doesn't give me any thinking space or time to think differently. Do I need to have a ward with that number of people? Could they be different? But could we use technology that actually creates safe environments for our patients and our staff? But the thinking time isn't there in our current world. So a challenge, I guess, by the way, there's loads more questions than answers. There are no answers in this presentation. The challenge for us, I think, is how do we do some of that longer term planning and thinking while we're coping with the day-to-day necessity to deliver for our patients, to keep them safe and to also satisfy our regulatory bodies. So what have we got? Well, we've got five generations working together. So we're going to have to cater for all of their needs to make sure we can retain them and recruit people. So when I look at my organisation, I have got people in every single one of those categories. So I've got 80-year-old secretaries doing a cracking job. I've also got apprentices, our future workforce, starting at that very early stage. So we've got, you know, 17 to 80-year-olds working in an organisation. How on earth are we going to cater for all of their needs? It's a real challenge, I think, for all of us. I hope you can read that. The numbers on the 3%, 33%, etc., are the percentage of our UK workforce in those age groups. So baby boomers, Generation X, Y, and Z. That's a big number. Look at the hiatus in the middle. Those baby boomers, like me, will be coming up to retire in the next 3 or 4 years' time. Generation X, there's still a big number there. Give it time and then they will be going as well, because we're not making it attractive for our older population to want to work in the NHS. That Brexit, pensions, lifetime allowances, all of those things are playing a big part in this. But for many healthcare staff, the world of work is still modelled on an approach that might have been really useful in the 1950s, but is really unfit for today's generation. Take today's gig economy. Generation Z want to use phone apps to select and swap shifts. In the University of Kansas Hospital, they initiated decent e-rostering software in 2015. They filled 95% of shifts with their core staff, seen a 65% reduction in last-minute requests, half the time staff spend physically rostering people, and seen staff turnover reduce to its lowest level yet. Other industries have gone further than that, and rather than mapping people to roles, they're mapping skills to tasks. I think we've got to really think differently about how we do things. What they're doing in some areas is people upload their skills and their work preferences, and employers are accessing that to assemble ad hoc teams to deliver what they need them to deliver. It's a gig economy for professionals, for the baby boomers, for the Generation Xers. So, why do we need to think differently? You know, how can this be so difficult for us? We are so poor at planning. We managed to sequence the genome in 10 years, and that's a proper hard thing to do. So why we can't manage our staffing issues and look at how we change our approach to work is crazy. But what was really interesting, the King's Fund report on this adoption and spread of innovation in the NHS highlighted we're really good at innovation. We're really good at thinking big things and big ideas. We've got a chronic problem in spreading it. And they said that we spend, I mean, buckets loads, $1.2 billion in research and development and less than 0.1% of the NHS budget in spreading it. Isn't that crazy? There's all of that stuff out there. I was talking to a colleague earlier on who'd come to my organisation to see that we could do some work around how do we get delayed transfers of care out of hospital. Great technology. Could I get my health economy to adopt it? Is it being adopted everywhere else? Yes. So I've bumped into him today and he's coming to my A&E delivery board just to show how it's working elsewhere because we didn't adopt it. You know, that's not good thinking from a health system. If there are things that are proven to work, why aren't we using them? I think part of the problem is we haven't got the right channels to get everybody to know about them so that we can innovate and spread. I don't know if anybody's read Mark Britnell's book. Has anybody seen that? It's called Solving the Global Workforce Crisis in Healthcare. It doesn't solve it, but actually what it does do is gives you loads of ideas and really helps you to think about how we might tackle the future. And what he said is that there are, by 2030, there will be five forces driving radical change to the way we provide care. We will switch from face-to-face virtual communication using digital and artificial intelligence. 2 years ago, my youngest son was really quite... he's a boy, so of course he said he was ill. He'd actually got a sore throat, but it was horrible, and it was green and really pretty horrible. I said, "Well, I'm sufficiently concerned. I'm going to take you to the GP or the walk-in centre." And he just looked at me as if I was an idiot. But Mum, why can't I just take a picture and we'll send it to the doctor, and he can tell me? And I thought, "Oh, you silly boy, that's never going to happen." And then last year, what did we do? We had a very similar problem. We rang the GP online. We paid £20 for our consultation. He asked all the right questions, said, "Yes, you've got a throat infection. I've been able to have a look at some of your notes. I'm going to prescribe you some medication. Go and pick up your antibiotics from your local chemist." And within 15 minutes, he hadn't left our home office. And he'd been seen, diagnosed and treated. 5 minutes later, we'd got his medication and he didn't have to go anywhere near a GP or a hospital and he was fine. I didn't think that was going to happen. And it did, and it was really good. I think, why aren't I looking out for these things more in different ways for my own organisation? So switch from face-to-face to virtual communication. Scale up primary care. As a leader for promotion, prevention and population health management, trendy terms at the moment, but absolutely crucial for us. enable patients and carers to do much more for themselves. And how can we get them to do that? Actually, that will be through the use of technology. Jen talked about smart watches, scales, a whole range of things. Actually, you can manage patients. It's our risk aversion, I think, that stops us from doing that. Patients want it. Standardised pathways and protocols for long-term conditions integrated between hospitals and primary care. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is by utilising our workforce differently and using technology. And those five improvements should make it relatively straightforward then to train and develop the workforce of the future, because we have to improve our productivity. And it requires long-term investment in education, training skills, innovation, technology management and leadership. And that's the challenge. So how do we make sure that we can deliver all of those things and use the technology that exists today and will exist in the future? Thank you very much.